Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Listen, it's the Burt Show.
Good morning, Angie.
Hi.
Hey,
how are
morning.
You?
I'm doing okay. How about you guys?
Oh, good. Oh, you got that stressed out sound in your voice. I'm stressed.
Yeah, I'm just really not good at this whole confrontation thing.
Well, I think
it's going to be confrontation.
Right. I think the way you're looking at it immediately is like it's got to be a confrontation thing. You know your dad's not going to be happy about this is what you're saying, right?
Yeah, just because I know, like, I'm going to have to face him with being, like, upset about it. And that's what's really, like, stressing me out the most.
So all right, take us back a couple of steps here and give us some history.
Well, I have a stepfather who's my dad. He's been there for, like, the last 15 years. He's been our rock. And my biological father has been sort of in and out of my life, like, my whole life. And the last couple of years, like, I've only seen him really on my daughter's birthday and, like, Christmas, which are, like, back-to-back. So, I haven't seen him since the beginning of the year. I haven't spoken to him since the beginning of this year. And, like, I just don't feel like, I don't feel like he is that important in my life. I know that kind of sounds rough, but I don't feel like he's that important to, like, share that experience. Because my stepdad, he's been there for, like, everything. He's just, you know, he's been there, and he's the person who I feel like I want to give me away, you know, and like, this is, you know, the second time around, but like, this is it. This is going to be it, whether it is or not, but that's it. Like, I don't want it to be anything other than that, and I just don't know how to go about telling him.
No, I totally get what you're saying. Mm-hmm. It seems cut and dry to me that the person who raised you and has been in your life is the person that should walk you down the aisle.
Why don't you think that there'll be a certain amount of understanding on his part?
Yeah, but I know that, like, his feelings are still going to be hurt by it. But, like, he has to understand that, you know, that he hasn't, you know, been in and out. You know, he's been in and out of my life for my whole life. So he's got to understand that, but it's still just stressing me out about the conversation.
What about it? Do you feel like you owe him? Because that's where this is coming from, right? Sort of
feel obligated.
You feel
based
this obligation,
tradition, or whatever.
Yeah,
kind of. I guess I do feel like it's just that's what is supposed to happen, even though that's not the case at all.
Your dad made a whole bunch of decisions over the years that have brought you to this place. He's the one that chose to sort of keep you on the periphery. He's the one that opened up the door for your now stepdad for you to feel closer to. These are all things that he set up here. I totally understand how this is going to be an uncomfortable situation for you. But at the truth of the matter is, he has sort of created this situation.
Agreed. Not sort of.
Right.
It's his fault.
He's created this. But that still doesn't alleviate it's going to be an uncomfortable situation.
Yeah, and it's not that I don't want him to, like, come or anything. Like, it's not like I don't want him to come and be there and, like, be a part, like, be there, you know, and share that experience. But I just don't want, like, I don't want that to be, you know, his role.
So it's twofold. I don't want you in the wedding, but please come and enjoy it.
And watch my stepdad walk me down the aisle.
Yeah, so it's kind of,
Hey, Aubrey, good morning. You're part of the Burt Show. Hi.
Hi, how are y'all?
Good, thank you.
I am kind of in the same situation. I'm getting married in April, and my stepfather has been a part of my life since I was 8 years old, and my dad has supported me, so I guess it's kind of different. So I have been going through my head, how are they both going to walk me down the aisle? Who am I going to tell no? My father is the one paying, but my stepdad has been the one supporting me.
Now, Angie, just let me get this straight here. You're not looking for options on how to satisfy both of them that day. You are set that you want your stepdad to walk you down that aisle.
Right.
So what you're looking for is advice on how to break this to your dad to where he's not totally upset.
Yeah.
Right. Okay. I think you just got to rehearse it. To be quite honest, I think you got to write down how you want to start it and just say it out loud a couple times.
And the way you start it is what we've talked about before is that You just have to open it up with, hey, I have to say something right now that's, I'm really uncomfortable saying this, but I can't think of any other way than to kind of do the quick Band-Aid ripoff. So I'm just going to say it, and then we'll talk about it.
Mm-hmm. Good morning, Amanda. You're on Q100. Hi.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning. I actually just wanted to give her some advice that I went through the same thing. My father was in and out of my life my whole entire life, and my stepfather was the one that took care of me and my mom and my sister, and it was a really difficult thing that I had to do, but I told my father that, you know, I really would greatly appreciate it if he was there at the wedding, but I felt that it was my stepfather's privilege to give me away since he was the one that raised me, and my real father actually opted out of my wedding and did not show up, but it was actually his loss in the end.
Yeah.
So he couldn't,
like how she called it her stepfather's privilege.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's kind of. So it was an earned space.
Yeah,
he was so hurt by that, he couldn't stand to watch it, so he decided not to go at all.
Right.
Huh. Yeah.
Man, that's hurtful, too.
That's really hurtful.
It's his fault.
Yeah, he created that.
Yeah. I mean, yeah.
He's your father, but not your dad. Your stepfather's your dad.
Whoa.
Hey, Kim, good morning. You're on Q100.
Good morning.
Hello.
I just wanted to kind of, I'm a little upset by all this because she shouldn't worry about what her dad feels. You know, he wasn't worrying about how she was feeling when he wasn't around. So I think she should do what's in her heart, and the person that was there and decided to, you know, take the lead as her father and love her and support her, that's who should walk her down the aisle. And I don't think she should think anything about it by telling her father. And if her father gives her a hard time, then say, look, well, that happens when you're not there for your child over, you know, so many. Maybe that's the mean way about it, but that's how I feel.
I think there's two different parts of yourself when you're having to have that conversation, because I think the only way you can say, look, you weren't there, you don't deserve this, it has to come from anger, because sometimes it's only the anger that works up when you say those things. Because I assume there's always this yearning for it to be the way it should have been, you know, for him to give you the attention he should have given you. Regardless of how old you are, there's that yearning that he didn't step up the way you wanted him to. So, you know, it's easy to say go and be strong and everything, but you're having to face this vulnerability and having to come to terms with the fact he is not who you wanted him to be. He's never going to be who you wanted him to be, and this is just kind of the, you know, symbolic of it.
Oh, it's going to be awkward for sure. You know? I mean, there's no getting around that at all. I think it's just that initial phrasing, like what to use in order to make him more open to it. You may be surprised. He may say, look, I understand the decision.
Maybe.
Yeah, he may. I've moved past the angry part. I kind of did that in my teenage years or whatever, but I'm kind of to the point where it's just like, that's kind of the facts of life, and that's just how it goes. Like, that's just how the fact of my life, that's just how it goes right now. So,
What's his relationship like with your stepdad?
What's his relationship with him?
Yeah. Like, do they get along? Do they not?
They get along when they're in the same room with each other, which isn't very often, but it's not like they go out of their way to, like, be friendly.
Right.
Look, just keep this in mind when you're walking in there, that your dad set this whole thing up. This is not your fault at all. If this is awkward, it's because he has made it awkward.
Mm-hmm.
Good morning, Christine. You're on Q100.
Hi, good morning.
Good morning.
I kind of feel like this girl has got the wrong perspective. I mean, I understand that her father has been in and out of her life, but family's family. And I kind of feel like, you know, she's gonna create a situation that's going to cause some hurt for the rest of her life.
No, family
is the people that love you and take care of you.
Well,
that is family, not
blood. I do
understand
that.
Not blood.
Well, no, I don't agree with that. No,
I
think I that family is
that.
Family, and she needs to, you know, maybe not have the dad walk. I mean, if she really doesn't want to have the dad walk her down the aisle, she needs to have some other special place for him in this wedding.
Absolutely not.
No.
If she doesn't feel close to him, then she doesn't need to embrace him on that day. When he's been pushing her aside all these years, why on this day does she have to make him feel special?
Well, and also, in my first wedding, like, I had him walk me to the aisle, and my stepdad walked me down the aisle and gave me away. And then it just was so uncomfortable because it's like, I don't know this person. You know, like, I really don't know him as well as I know my stepdad. And, like, I just don't, it's not, there's no
It seems like there's no connection there. Like, there's blood, but there, like you said, there's not. It's that.
Yeah.
Maybe this time you can have him walk you to your car at your house. And then maybe the car could take you to the church, and then.
Because it was the father that whittled that relationship down to them just sharing DNA.
Mm-hmm.
Right. You know? I mean, I disagree that there is an obligation when it's not reciprocal.
Right.
Oh, mm-hmm. Definitely not.
You know?
Yeah. You don't earn these things just because you are the biological parent.
Because you were a sperm donor.
Right.
Yeah.
Let me take one more call on this. Good morning, Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm actually going through the same thing. I'm getting married in 3 weeks, and what I just decided is I'm 30, and it's my first wedding, and we have kids, so we're taking, my kids are taking us down the aisle.
Aww.
No.
Kids.
Oh, my
God.
No.
That's cool.
Do you think your kids will walk this woman down the aisle, Angie?
Maybe.
That's awesome. What a great idea.
That is a great idea.
But kids. You know, kids and puppies.
Kids are cute.
We've been focusing a lot on your dad and how he's going to feel in this conversation, but I think the important part is to focus on that relationship with your stepfather, the one who has been your dad the whole time, and how special it's going to be for him, and what a great day it's going to be, and what a beautiful moment you guys are going to share together as you walk down the aisle. And I think that you've got to hurry up, get this conversation out of the way, and put it behind you so that you can focus on the positive part about this wedding. Your stepfather has been in your life and has been the man, you know, he's been the dad for you. So honor him by letting the focus be on him.
Yeah, reward him for his effort.
And exactly. Like, reward him for being a stand-up guy and being, you know, the man who helped raise you.
And I'm with Jen. You got to do this quickly because every day it lingers over you. Yeah. It's stressful and it takes away from this whole experience for you. Do it like tomorrow,
I think Jen's absolutely right. And maybe what to motivate you is the longer you take to do this, the more you're disrespecting your dad.
Yeah.
Your
that's
true
a good
dad.
Point.
And he's, you know, he's the one that deserves the attention here.
Yeah, that's true.
And he deserves positive attention. And, you know, I mean, you guys can talk about how you want to spend 5 minutes together before the ceremony and, like, how fun it's going to be and all that stuff.
You just got to do it at this point.
Focus on that part, yeah.
All right, Angie.
All right, well, thanks, guys.
I hope that helped a little bit.
All right.
You know, I'm surprised by the amount of calls that we're receiving from people saying what she's doing is totally wrong.
What? No
well, way. They probably have their fathers in their lives, their blood fathers.
Good morning, Q100.
Ooh.
Good morning, Bart Show. How are you doing?
Good. Good morning.
I saw True Blood last night. Sorry.
Hi.
I got to tell you, I'm a little ticked off at this girl because I could have sworn she said that her father was paying for the wedding.
No, that was another listener.
That was a call.
Oh, okay.
That was a caller.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because that's important I mean, if he's paying for it, then he needs to be involved.
No,
in
he's
it.
Not paying
that
for it.
No way. That doesn't constitute walking down the aisle.
Yeah. Sure, well.
That would be different.
That's a different issue.
But there has to be something.
All right, so let's throw this around for just 1 second. Let's just say in a new scenario, because that doesn't apply to this one. So in a new scenario, if dad is paying for the wedding, then what you're saying here is that he makes the rules?
No, I wouldn't say that he makes the rules, but I think it would be unfair to exclude him from something like that. I mean, you could have both of them walk you down the aisle, or you could have your mother walk you down the aisle and give them some other part to play. Mm-hmm. I think it's unfair to allow a parent like that to foot the bill for something and then exclude them.
It would take a pretty...
Yeah, I'd agree with that.
It would be disrespectful for which part?
I think it would be disrespectful to leave the person out who's paying for your wedding.
To go, well, you can pay the $10,000 for my wedding, but by the way, you can't participate in it. You can come, but you can't participate in it. But I think that's wrong.
But it's irrelevant because that's not what's happening in this case.
Yeah, I don't want to confuse people because the person that was her scenario, she had both walk her down the aisle. So she included the guy that paid for it. So
that would take a pretty big person, a pretty big father to go, look, I know that I'm not the priority here, but let me pay for the wedding. And the stepfather can walk you down. He could be front and center. That would take a pretty big dad right there.
Yeah,
it's
but
a check right there.
But if you were out of my life, I'm not for sale. You can't make up your love with money. I would not accept the money. You know?
Same.
I think we all agree on that.
Listen, it's the Bert Show.
So this is the story of Lizzie Miller And Glamour Magazine, as told by the Today Show yesterday.
From the catwalks to the covers, there's plenty of skin and lots of bones.
For decades, we've been seeing models who are very thin, from Twiggy to Kate Moss. Fashion is a very thin industry.
There are exceptions like Emma, who's considered a plus-size pioneer. But in general, larger ladies rarely make the cut in the fashion world. But are the tides turning? There's the Dove Real Women campaign. A recent backlash when Self magazine airbrushed Kelly Clarkson to look thinner. And now this photo from Glamour magazine's latest issue. Her name is Lizzie Miller. She's 20, and her size is between a 12 and a 14.
The average American woman is a size 12 to 14. So Lizzie fits right dead center in that average. And so therefore, she's really representative of most women in America.
There's no cover and no magazine spread, but online this one small photo is causing a big stir. A beautiful woman who has a stomach and thighs that look like mine, one blogger wrote to Glamour. Finally, a woman who looks like most American women. And even a demand to put her on the cover.
When we see women who look like us, I think we're likely over the long run to have better self-esteem. It's not a revolution, but I think it's baby steps in the right direction.
All right, so that's the Today Show yesterday. And we've had this debate so many times on the Burt Show before. Women just waiting for a magazine to get gutsy and put somebody in it that isn't rail thin. Somebody like we heard in that Today Show piece that represents them. So they do that. So why is it I go to a website yesterday, NBCWashington.com, and 50% of the people that saw that piece loved it, think it's great, fantastic, finally, a magazine is doing that. But 33% said they absolutely hated it.
Well, that means one-third of the guys people who voted were guys. Well, no, what? Normal-sized women? Uh-uh.
They hate, what did they hate? They hated the picture?
They hated them. It just says, love the story, hate the story. And I'm assuming it's more of a backlash to they picked the wrong girl. And I think that's where Melissa is.
No.
That's not on that.
No, you totally misinterpreted me. It's the fact that they're calling her a plus-size model that offends me. I love the picture. I think she does represent the pooch and the thighs. And, I mean, most women look like that. Women don't have flat stomachs. They don't have stomachs that look like guys. They have a pooch. And it shouldn't be something they should be embarrassed by, but most women are. I mean, Spanx, the reason she makes so much money is because she's trying to hide the pooch and hide the butt and hide the thighs. And I don't think that we should have to do that. What offends me is that they call her a plus-size model in all the reports because she's not a plus-size model. She's a size 12 to 14. She's an average woman. A woman, I think, 16, 18 and up would be plus-size, but not her. So my offense is how they're reporting this story.
And just to totally play devil's advocate on this, because I agree with you and I think it's great that her image is out there. And I wished that they had kept Kelly Clarkson her size on Self magazine and all that stuff.
Didn't she get mad about that, right?
Yeah.
Did Kelly Clarkson get mad?
And this is from the business side of it, and I'm playing devil's advocate. Do we make business decisions on that? Do we spend our money on what we are or on what we want to be? Because those magazines sell because they have headlines like, look thinner, faster. They have headlines like, 365 great new looks for summer or, fall fashions. And in parentheses, it should say fall fashions you can never afford. So, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of reasons that we purchase those magazines because it's what we aspire to be, not who we are. But
I've seen Stacey use some of those pictures in those magazines as motivation. She puts them up on the fridge. And uses that as motivation as to not go in there, and she wants to look like that.
But isn't it relative that they're showing us that's what you're supposed to look like? So then they're telling us this is what you're supposed to look like, and this is how to achieve that. So I don't think you can separate the two. I think that if you saw more images of average-looking women, then there would, I think that
there'd be less pressure to have that goal.
Because I think as groups, we're lemmings. I think that what we see in front of us and we're told is what's supposed to be is what we aspire to. And so I think that all around us are the images of skinny women. I mean, women I watch on TV who are eating ice cream in the middle of the night are always the skinny girls who are eating ice cream in the middle of the night. You know what I'm saying? Everything that you see, mothers and women, is all skinny. And I personally don't find the skinniest women the most attractive women.
I agree with you. I'm just saying for the, argument, for debate purposes, are there overweight men selling men's products You know what I'm saying? It's the beautiful people that sell things. And they are in the business of selling magazines and selling advertising and selling products.
Other way men can sell beer.
But I mean, if you go,
they
know,
but
like,
they don't.
If you look like it, they could, but they don't, right? If you go to like a Maxim magazine and you see an ad for Gillette, a razor, it's always some cut up, good looking dude.
Because you are attracted to,
it's more about the world of advertising. I don't know. I don't want to diminish the debate, but it's just, I don't know.
For commercial purposes and for consumerism, the people that you see using that, you know, for example, McDonald's, the people that you generally see in the McDonald's advertisement are not the people you see who go to McDonald's. Mm-hmm. Because it's marketing 101. You use the people in your marketing that the people who are going to use your product aspire to be.
But I think that's the dangerous part, is that what we are told to aspire to is unrealistic. Like, especially when it comes to the models, and when it comes to, I think it's just unreal. It's
not attainable.
Agreed. It's not a goal that I think that there is a serious epidemic. I mean, it is an epidemic amongst women, that every woman is insecure about her body. Every mm-hmm. woman is insecure about her body. And why? Why are we so insecure about our bodies? And we have to look into that. I mean, I don't have all the answers, but is it partly because of this advertising and because of what we're used to? You know, the Kelly Clarkson that they don't like the way she looks, so let's make her skinnier. And I commend her for calling them out and say, I don't look like that. And don't let people think that I look like that. I don't know. I just feel like, if we could get women to just let go of this insecurity, we could be so much more empowered. But we spend all of our time and all of our money trying to change the way we look.
Mm-hmm.
Period.
I just wonder, it's the chicken or the egg. Which comes first? You know what
I'm
saying? Do the images come first, or does the desire come first? And what is it? And can you apply that to any other chicken or the egg thing? You know, like with the news, we talk about, like, with everyone, like, blames the media. Well, if you didn't want it, the media wouldn't report it. If you were going to watch a newscast mm-hmm. that was all good news and happy, happy stories all the time, nobody would report bad news.
Every time we talk about
news.
Real Housewives of Atlanta, right? People call and go, why are you talking about this trash? Why? Because 3 million people watch it every week.
That same chicken or the egg argument here with advertising messages and marketing messages and images. What comes first?
But women haven't always been this skinny when it comes to modeling. Like, she brought up Twiggy in that since 1970 has been this standard for mm-hmm. size for women. It hasn't always been that way. So it does show that there is a chicken or the egg thing, because women haven't always wanted to be a size 6 or 4. Mm-hmm.
Hey, Adriana, you're on the Burt Show.
Hey, what's going on, Burt Show?
You tell us, what's up?
My honest opinion, I think articles like these are, you know, one of the reasons that, you know, more than half of America is overweight and obese. Because if you go to different countries, you don't see heavy women at all,
or heavy men,
you know, for that matter.
The girl in that ad was not heavy.
Did you think she was
overweight
heavy?
Either?
No, but I mean, what they're saying, that the average size woman is a 12 and 14. Mm-hmm. I don't think that's true. Wow. And that just kind of like motivates women to say, okay, well, average, you know, 12, 14, then it looks like I'm okay. It kind of like demotivates people to, you know, like what Bert was saying about Stacey putting up pictures that motivates her to get fit. I'm not sure what Stacey looks like, but I mean, I think that's a great idea. But then when you have people saying, you know, average size is 12, 14, then that's just, you know, making people say, oh, okay, well, I guess it's okay to be a little overweight then.
But she's not overweight.
In terms of health, is a size 14 considered healthy?
It depends
healthy
on the woman. And that woman was healthy.
She's 6 foot.
Okay, I'm just asking the question.
They hate you.
Back off. I mean, but I'm just saying, if that caller may have a valid point, if health experts have determined that there is because America is overweight. We all agree with that, right? Like, we've seen the reports. The obesity is high. Kids are getting fatter. It's not good, right? Like, we agree with that or no?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so that's a fact. So if a healthier person, hypothetically, this is, if it comes out that a healthy size for a woman is less than that woman who did that advertisement or, you know, did that article for Glamour, right? Then are we doing a disservice to our own country by portraying and idolizing someone who's brave enough to step out when technically they're at an unhealthy weight just to protect the self-esteem of some people who...
Well, first of all, she was not at an unhealthy weight, and I think
But I'm saying, by the start of the sentence, by saying, let's assume that she is at an unhealthy weight.
But my thing is, be careful what you ask for, because when people ask for something, this is the response. That, I mean, the reason that there's not progression, especially when it comes to women, and I'll just say it, the reason that women don't go evolve as fast as we should is because anytime that there are strides that we ask for, then we beat them down once we get them. Like, because I cannot believe that Lizzie Miller is getting so much feedback and flack, because now we're talking about, you know, aspiring. I don't want to aspire to be anybody. I wish that women could aspire to be smart and, you know, and get more money and to be able to be on equal salary terms from men and whatever. I don't want us to be so distracted by the way we look. And I feel like every time somebody does something in that, and she, God, look at the picture. She is not overweight and she barely is normal. Then
you're basing that just on appearance.
Well, in the modeling world,
but I'm talking about
hold on one sec, y'all, because in the modeling world, the definition is different, which is what a whole bunch of callers are calling up to say. Hey, Elon.
Hey, I agree with Melissa, and I kind of agree. Well, I don't agree with the last caller, but I understand where she's coming from. She's kind of delusional with what her statement was, but I see, you know, the light in it. But I saw the piece on E! News. Lizzie Miller is a beautiful, beautiful woman and, you know, not overweight at all. But I think the problem is that, you know, I'm, you know, me myself, I am 5'10 and a half and a size 10, and I would be considered plus size in the modeling industry, even though that might be not plus size in the real world. Mm-hmm. Modeling industry is totally different from the real world.
Let me ask you that question then. Let's try to define that, because if you go to a plus size store, woman's store, mm-hmm. where do they begin their sizes?
16, I think.
16?
Yeah, I have no idea.
I think it's 16. I don't know.
My assumption is 16 or 18 would be my assumption.
I mean, because really that's what we're asking here, that she may be a plus-size model in the modeling world, mm-hmm. but in the real world, if you go to, what's the name of one of these stores?
Like a Lane Bryant.
Lane Bryant. The definition may be totally different.
Mm-hmm. Which, I mean,
that's a good point.
I mean, and then why? Why is it different? You know, that's the thing. Is like, isn't that dangerous that in the modeling world, they're going to mm-hmm. shave it down? Why would it be different than the normal women
because
the walk around?
Because modeling world is a business. Like, it's a...
But they're promoting unhealth, too. By the skinny models, that's unhealthy, too. Mm-hmm. I mean, those girls are starving themselves. And then if you, on the other end of the spectrum, you're too big. I mean, it's unhealthy, too. I mean, there's no normal.
Hey, can you turn your radio down, Marie?
The modeling world is a business.
Can you turn your radio down?
Well, turn that part up.
Hello?
There you go. Hi.
Oh, hi.
It's a nice debate, isn't it?
Yeah.
You want to be a part of it?
I was a little on a different... scale. Well, when you were talking about the pretty people,
go ahead.
I was on a different subject. Okay. What I called.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, that's okay. Well, what Wendy was saying about them being really, really skinny. I wonder if we are overweight in America because we fall so far away from what that ideal is. We fall short. So instead of just falling a little bit short of where the models are, we go on the opposite end of it.
I just think we're lazy,
you know what I mean?
As a society.
Yeah.
I just mm-hmm. think we have too many things to keep us from being active. If you want to talk about health, then look at, I mean, it is. I challenge anybody to go out today and not fix your own food and go find a healthy meal. You can't do it. Mm-hmm. And most people are so busy that they don't usually cook for themselves all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's why we're overweight.
Does this skinny ideal really come back to men in the long run? Because... women have been bred that men would prefer a skinnier woman. Mm-hmm. So if that's the case, is that why all the magazines are telling you that in order to be happy and to get a man that you got to be thin?
Why? Do you think that's why there's male models are all in shape and good? Because that's what women put their value on? Like, no.
I think it's attractiveness.
Yes.
You want to purchase things.
People who are in modeling.
Exercise that because it's... something you're attracted to.
People in modeling and people who are putting themselves out there are putting themselves out there because they are attracting a certain crowd. Do you know why that girl is in Glamour magazine? She's not, you know, the next Rosa Parks breaking down boundaries for the years to come. She's in there because that's going to sell magazines, because people are going to go, hey, there's a plus size girl in there, and they're going to have this debate, and they're going to talk about it,
beautiful.
And they're
going to
do it. And she's, yeah.
Well, it's backfiring here because Jennifer won't buy it. Hey, Jennifer.
Hey, I just
wanted to say that, you know, I am plus size. I am what would be considered to be a realistic plus size, like a size 22. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I don't want to see size 22 models because I know that I'm not at a healthy weight, and I don't want girls to think that that's okay. But when you're talking about size 14 models or 12 models or like these girls that are on the America's Next Top Model that fall into a plus size category, and I'm looking at them and I'm like, they don't have hardly any fat on them. They're just tall, big girls, and they're still beautiful. And it's ridiculous. And when I buy a health magazine, like Self Magazine, where they have exercises and diet plans, I want to see good, healthy women that are in good shape. Maybe, I don't know, I guess maybe like they're probably size 6 to 8 or something like that, and they've got, you know, muscle tone and they look good. But when I buy fashion magazines, I won't buy a fashion magazine because I already know that there's nothing in there that I can wear.
But aren't you contradicting yourself? I mean, you said in certain magazines you want to see a skinnier woman, but a fashion magazine you won't buy because there's nothing in there for you. So, I mean, so wouldn't you want to see a woman closer to your size in a fashion magazine or no?
Close. Not necessarily my size all the time. It would be nice if they offered, I guess, a spectrum, because I don't want to see big girls all the time in magazines, because then that's like, then the skinny girls are going to be like, well, what the hell, you know? I mean,
Well, I think there's a perception of acceptance. If you're published, you're accepted. So I think an insecurity comes in. If you don't see a reflection of you in a published magazine, then in your mind you think, well, I'm not pretty enough to be able to be in there, so I'm not pretty. And I think it's the complex that women have that men don't have that I think is a real tragedy.
Hey,
honestly.
Janet, real quick here. We just got a couple of seconds. What's up?
Yeah, the big girl stores, Lane Bright in them, they all start at size 18. I used to work 18. For one.
Okay, so the definitions here are really different. You go plus size stores start at 18. A plus size model is considered between 12 and 14. So there is a discrepancy here.
This is The Bird Show.
Why have I asked my electrician I found on Angie.com to bury my pet hamster Nibbles in our yard for me? Because I was so moved by how carefully he buried my electrical wires, I knew I could trust him to bury my sweet Nibbles after his untimely end. Nibbles. Gone too soon. May he scurry in peace.
Hey, sorry about your pet, but I just wire stuff.
Nibbles would have loved you like a brother.
Connecting homeowners with skilled pros for over 30 years. Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find pros for all your home projects at Angie.com.
All right, date with Destiny here.
Eat your banana.
Huh. Date with Destiny.
Oh my God.
I love dating.
All right, here's how Destiny works. These guys have given me such a hard time about my theories on Destiny. Look, when you fall in love with somebody.
I'm floating.
I'm over it.
You have no control over it because it's Destiny. It is predetermined who you are going to fall in love with. It is Destiny.
Everything's turned into cartoons.
Captain Destiny?
It's a cartoon studio now.
So here's the theory here, is that if he is listening and she is listening at this very same time right now, if we're allowing Destiny to take over, I should be able to pick up two phone lines here.
Sure.
One from a man, one from a woman.
Okay.
And if it's true Destiny taking over for these two people, they should be able to meet this weekend. And if it's truly Destiny, it'll just happen.
That's right.
Considering you're the ambassador of soccer and Destiny, I think that because what we originally had said was that it would just be the call, we'd ask guys to call in to take caller 100, and then it would be girls and he would take caller 100 girl. I don't think that's what happens. I think Destiny, Bert, travels through your soul and comes out your finger.
Or other places.
And I think, and it's the finger, it's one of the fingers on the hand that touched Sanjay.
Is it this one?
Yeah. So I think as the calls start to come in, I think you just put your hand over the phone bank.
And I should be able to feel it?
And you feel, and you pick one, and you pick it up, and whoever it is.
I imagine Jeff running through a field right now.
Like in slow motion, hand in hand with Jeff.
How about just walking?
He's just walking.
How about just,
and he stops
how about
to take
just
a breath.
Gingerly
and I stop to take a hit off my inhaler, because I got really bad wildflower allergies.
You're running with your oxygen tank.
Right, then I step in a hole. I'm going to break my leg. That's great.
All right, so here's what we want to try, is have Destiny take over, 404-741-Q100. I'll take one caller that would be a guy, and then randomly take another that would be a woman.
Okay.
Yep.
And if this is truly Destiny, they should be able to go out this weekend, because if Destiny is taking over...
Destiny!
Yeah.
It's what?
Destiny!
It has to be single people that call.
Yes.
Oh, well.
And
well,
straight people.
Does it? I mean, I think for this purpose right here, it's got to be straight people, right?
Okay. Yes.
But
if it's destiny.
If it's destiny and you're married and you call up, then is it really your destiny to be with the person that you're married with?
I don't even think. I mean, I think we're limiting it on sexuality. Like, if the first call that you pick up is a guy and the second call you pick up is a guy, they just don't know that they're gay yet.
That's right. Uh-huh.
So I think to just dumb it down, I think we go man, woman on this one.
Okay.
Okay.
So it's the hetero date with destiny.
Okay.
Hetero sounds so...
Can I have complete silence, please?
Yeah, sorry.
Will I allow, like Jeff said, destiny to filter through my fingertips and into my heart and into my soul?
Can you turn the lights down?
Nope, because I don't believe in destiny.
Not anymore, because you're tarnished.
You have to put out the good vibes right now.
Dozens, if not hundreds, of hetero people calling the radio station.
I'm going to have to go through some of these because I'm not feeling anybody that's on right now.
Oh, then all you do is...
Good morning, Q100. Can you call right back, please?
Sure.
Good morning, Q100. Can you call right back, please?
Aren't you being... I mean, aren't you trying to...
I'm allowing Destiny to take over. And just because these are five phone lines ringing doesn't mean that...
Yeah. He waits till he gets to the one he feels.
Hold on, the music just got dramatic.
Bert, I think you should do a couple of these.
I feel like I need to be in a bathrobe lying on a massage table right now.
Good morning, Q100. Can you call back, please? I'm not feeling this.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Aw, she's sad. You just hurt her destiny feelings.
Good morning, Q100.
Look at Bert's concentration as he decides if this is the person that will bring destiny to the table.
You're messing with my mojo.
All right, everybody
I need
quiet,
silence.
Be quiet. All right, listen to the music.
You might have messed up her she might have been it, but you... Too much distortion. Good morning, Q100.
Yes.
Can you call back?
Yes.
Thank you.
Dude, you're ruining
it. It was her destiny to be bummed today. That's how destiny works.
Everybody yoga.
Just based on the past 90 minutes, I think it's our destiny to do radio in Buffalo.
Come to center.
Good morning, Q100.
Good morning.
Good morning. Who is this?
This is Jenny.
How are you, Jenny?
Great.
Feeling a destiny kind of vibe with you right now.
Oh, me too, Bert.
I'm a slacker. Did I win?
Tell us a little bit about yourself.
What do we need to know?
Well, I mean, there's a lot to start with, I'm assuming.
That's true.
Where are you from?
I'm originally from upstate New York.
Okay.
I'm a Yankee at heart.
Mm-hmm.
How long have you been in Atlanta?
Probably the majority of my life. So.
Actually, you know what? Hold on. Stop. It dawns on me right now that I shouldn't even be asking you these questions.
Oh, yeah, it shouldn't matter.
So hold on one second. But you are one half of this equation of destiny.
You're right.
Okay. Where in upstate, just out of curiosity?
Right above Albany.
Okay. If it was Buffalo, that would have been too weird.
No, Jeff's from Rochester. Hold on.
Sure. I thought it was Hoboken.
It's in New Jersey.
Good morning, Q1. Looking for a dude now. Good morning, Q100. Nope. Good morning, Q100.
Hey, man, looking for Destiny?
Yes, you are.
Are you feeling this one?
Am I what?
Bert has to feel it.
OMG.
I'm sorry, I didn't hear you.
What's your name?
Rob.
What's going on, Rob?
How much, man? How you doing, Bert?
Yes, you are. This is going to work out okay.
Well, let's do it.
You ready for Destiny to take over, dude?
I'm ready.
Rob, we don't even need to know anything about you. I don't need any details. But I can feel it in my soul that you and the caller that I chose before you, who I have forgotten the name to.
Lisa.
That's her name?
I think Lisa.
Lisa.
I thought it was Dawn.
Dawn.
I thought it was Jenny.
It doesn't matter, Bert. You can assign her a name as an agent of her future.
Is it Jenny?
What is your name?
Jenny.
Oh, Jenny.
Oh, it's a way
off. This is not our destiny. This is Rob's destiny.
This is Jenny and Rob.
Jenny and Rob. Rob and Jenny.
Hey, I would like you guys to meet sometime this weekend.
Okay.
And I'm almost guaranteeing
in a very public place.
Hey.
With hundreds of people.
Yes, hey, with a crowd.
Because destiny will determine this, so... Rob, what day works better for you?
Saturday.
That's what day works good for you, right?
Absolutely.
See?
See?
Oh, Destiny.
Destiny's happening. They're both free on Saturday.
Saturday.
I'm just saying, take a half an hour and sit down with each other. And I think that you'll both realize when you sit down with each other that this was truly destiny. There's a reason why, Rob, you were listening at this time. There is a reason why Jenny is listening at this time. There is a reason why the two of you got through at this time. It was destined for the two of you to be together.
Bert, it's not a half hour. We're buying them dinner.
So it could be longer than that.
A destiny dinner. And maybe even a destiny dessert or a destiny drink.
Where are they going?
Or a destiny Dutch oven, if things work out well.
Where are they going for their destiny date?
Thanks for asking, Jen. They're going to Steel, located in Midtown Atlanta.
All right, I'm going to put both of you guys on hold, and we will talk to you on Monday morning. I am fairly confident that destiny has just taken over. I can feel the chemistry between the two of you.
Okay.
It's undeniable, actually. Jenny.
Whoa. Still we'll have a lot of people in it, right? And they drive themselves.
Who are you more scared of? Jenny's been quiet through the whole thing. Are you overwhelmed, Jenny?
A little.
Bert, you just hung up on dude.
No, I didn't. I put him on hold.
He's gone.
That means it's destiny for somebody else to
destiny
get through.
Destiny for somebody new. No, Rob.
What happened to Rob?
What happened to Rob?
I thought
Rob
I put him on hold.
Pick up one. Is that him on one?
Destiny Rob.
If Rob calls back and he gets through again, then it would be destiny for him to go out with Jenny.
Okay. Can you work me some better destiny?
No! How dare you?
Come on.
You can't mess with destiny.
Pick it up. Pick up destiny. It's waiting.
He's already there. Rob's already called. It's done. Oh, it's done. It's predetermined. If he gets back through, then it's done.
I feel like I'm going through, like, Spaceship Earth at Disney World.
This is The Bert Show. It's The Bert Show.
You know, we all get into these discussions with our friends or boyfriends or people we're dating about creating the best new thing. And with me and my girlfriends,
Inventions.
Mm-hmm. And me and my girlfriends will come up with ideas from time to time. And we are all sitting around yesterday pre-gaming before we were going out. For the night. So we were just, you know, we were drinking, like, pre-gaming, like, having a couple cocktails. And I'm sipping on my drink. My friend hands me a piece of gum. I'm like, okay, I'll have this after I have my drink or whatever. And she puts hers in her mouth and she goes, I like gum with a little bit of vodka. Because she didn't mean to have the gum before she finished her vodka drink, but she did. So she was like, huh, gum with a little bit of vodka never hurt anybody. So I was like, aha, I've got the perfect invention.
Idea.
The next best idea. It's going to be alcoholic gum.
Oh, nice.
Alcoholic gum.
So you can chew it while...
It's a shot.
Yeah. It's a shot in your mouth.
You can chew it while
you're... a bad idea.
It's really not.
You can chew it while you're driving.
Chewy shot.
Well, you know, you can't chew... Well, like, you can't drink and drive. Like, it's going to be like... It's the same thing. You know what I mean?
Because everybody has gum in their mouth now while you're at the club because you're trying to keep your breath fresh.
Right.
So why not put the shot... In the gum.
And it gets so much better than that. Because then, you know how you discuss and you're like, you're coming up with all these great ideas based on the one thing. Well, then we were like, how about like a jawbreaker? So it's like a shot, but it's in like the jawbreaker. So you get to the little piece and it's in your mouth. That's what you want.
Adult jawbreakers.
And the payoff is the alcohol in the middle of the jawbreaker?
Alcohol is in the middle of the jawbreaker. Or the alcohol is in the middle of the bursting gum. So you have the little shot. Bing, and then you have the gum
like
afterwards.
A blow pop with the candy, and then the gum inside is the alcohol.
Absolutely,
gum.
But it would be like a Jaeger bomb shot or a Washington apple shot. You can have your choice of vodka, like the Grey Goose gum.
It'd have to be a pretty big piece of gum if you're going to put a full on shot in there. I mean, a whole ounce.
How do you get that much alcohol in such a small thing?
There's our problem.
Yeah, we haven't come up with that.
Georgia Tech.
We don't have the recipe. Right.
Georgia Tech.
We don't have the recipe unless you can just make it that much more potent. Of a gum shot.
Mm-hmm.
But we thought this idea was brilliant. Like, we can put it in candies. Like, you could sell it. We even went to the extensiveness of, like, where we're going to sell it at. Or can we sell it? Because we're like, well, you can't chew and drive. I mean, that's going to be the new thing. You can't chew gum and drive. You can't drink and drive, obviously. But they still sell it at the grocery stores. I mean, you just can't have it in the car.
Not on Sunday in Georgia.
Right. You can't buy it on Sunday.
It's an interesting concept.
It's amazing.
Now, they already have, because I just did some Google research.
No, they don't. Do they really?
They don't have the gum, but they have alcoholic gummy worms.
Do they really?
Mm-hmm. So they're gummy worms.
I was wondering about, like, because you can't freeze alcohol.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Like, how, with the alcohol content, would you get it inside the candy? And that's right, in the gelatin.
You could put it in the gummy.
We were trying to figure out a chemist who could design it for us.
Alex might burst your... bubble gum
alcoholic
shot.
Alcoholic bubble.
Hey, Alex, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, how are you guys?
All right, how are you?
Good.
Good. Actually, at work, I have a friend from Lithuania,
And every time she goes there, she brings back candy from there. And she brings back chocolate-covered vodka. So
yeah, well, they have the chocolate. Mm. They do have it in chocolates.
Not gum.
It's not gum.
It's not gum.
It is not gum. Yeah, you can buy a box of chocolates filled with alcohol.
I think it's got legs.
Oh.
I think
it does. Awesome. I want to patent it and submit it to companies.
Hey, Megan, good morning. You're on Q100.
Love the show. Wendy, that is seriously the coolest idea ever. I would totally buy that.
I like it.
Nice. Come on. Yeah, see, this is why I need to go have some.
Well, you need to do it today because somebody's going to steal it.
What you should do is don't talk about it on the radio.
Yeah.
Whatever you do, don't talk about it on the radio.
Don't you, right?
You know who I want to hear from is the people that thought they had a great invention and they put a ton of cash into it. You never hear from these people, and it never went anywhere. Like, Melissa and I were just reading an article a couple of days ago about a dude that spent 10 years of his life and $4 million inventing colored bubbles.
Yeah.
Colored bubbles. It seems
like you blow.
So obvious. The blow bubbles?
Yeah.
It seems bubbles. So obvious. Ones that wouldn't stain your clothes.
They don't stain your clothes.
Mm-hmm. 10 years, $4 million, okay? Mm-hmm. We still don't know if his is going to be a hit or not, but where are the people that put all of their life savings into an invention that they knew was going to work and they're getting tremendous feedback like you just got from Megan and you're all excited about it, so you decide to sell your house. And then you get together with your husband and he's like, you know what, baby? You are right. Let's go ahead. Our lives are going down a completely different path now, but I'm into it with you. Put all our cash in there. And they don't work out.
Bet it all.
You only hear from the ones that do work.
Bet it all on the blue bubbles.
What was that reality show where everybody got to come and show their inventions and stuff?
Did anything come of anybody that won that show?
I can't remember.
Was that the one that Sarah Blakely was on?
Sarah Blakely was on, yeah.
Hey, Richard Martin. Branson.
Oh, well.
No.
It's a different one.
She was on the board, though, the panel. She was one of the judges, and people would bring their stuff to her.
Hey, Marty, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, good morning. A couple of years ago, I was in a convenience store, and she was talking about the alcoholic gum. They actually had a sucker that was a clear tequila sucker with the worm in the sucker.
See, that's even more smart.
I've seen those.
But no gum.
No gum. It is not Grey Goose gum.
You have a clear path right now. It is a brand new idea.
It's awesome.
Hey, Taylor, good morning. You're on Q100.
Hey, she may have an idea about the gum, but there are alcoholic, like, candies and stuff. The company that makes, I think it's Jack Daniels in Tennessee.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
They have suckers and all kinds of stuff that you can buy at the shop in Tennessee. Yeah.
It is not the same.
But it's not gum.
Gum is
I don't think they got Jack Daniel's gum.
And what if we had like vodka soda gum or vodka Red Bull gum? Like if you just intertwine them. I mean, our ideas about every kind of gum possible was put out on the table.
It's like the adult Juicy Fruit where it has all the stripes and those are the different things.
What was the kind of gum that had the burst of the gel in the middle?
It wasn't Bubblicious, was it?
It's like dentine.
I know
there
what
was
you're
one
about
just had a gel.
One that had that. Yeah, it was like the burst of gel in the middle. Mm-hmm. That's what you need is to figure out how to make that gel have the alcohol content.
I know what you're talking about.
I know. I need a chemist and I need money. So this is not going to work out in my favor.
Georgia Tech.
Yeah, you're in the right town for it.
If these inventions came my way to invest in, though, like I probably would have passed on a million ideas. Like if somebody came to you years ago and talked to you about Twitter and hit you with the idea that, okay, what you're going to do is just you're going to text people what you're doing and your random thoughts, would you actually invest in that? I wouldn't have invested in that. I probably would have invested in Facebook. The Snuggie, if somebody would have come to you years ago and said to you, look, I'm just basically making a robe here, you know, but you would have said no way. And they want $15,000 from you? No way I'm giving you $15,000.
They made a backwards bathrobe.
Yeah, there's no way.
Wendy, do you know who Richard Blaise is? Was he the runner-up or the third-place finalist on Top Chef last season? He also owns Flip.
Mm-hmm.
If you go see him, he will make your gum for you. And he will work with you on your gum.
No way!
Did he just email it?
He just sent me
a
message.
Are you serious?
Yeah, because I forgot that we were talking about not being able to freeze alcohol, but he does all that crazy, crazy chef nitrous oxide weird metabolic, you know,
that would be awesome.
Crazy cooking, so he can probably freeze because he's got big tanks of stuff that the government doesn't even know about. in his kitchen to freeze things.
You got to go down there right today.
Well, you got to take a lawyer with you, make sure that you...
I don't even have a lawyer. I don't even have money to... You know how much a patent is? Like, you know how much it is even to
start just go,
a patent?
Go talk to him first.
Talk to him. That's awesome.
I'll tell you
that
what,
would be so cool.
I will pay for the patent if you give me 90% of the profit.
Yes. Oh, say no.
Just like a man. Someone's already at their lawyer's office right
now. Right?
Patent the gum idea. Patent the vodka gum.
Somebody at the patent office just walked down the hall and said, boy, do I got an idea right now.
Yeah.
It's the Burt Show.
Don't you wish everything was more rewarding? With Rakuten, almost everything is. You can earn cash back on those new shoes you've been wanting. You can save on the next trip you book. You can cash in on groceries. Just join, shop your favorite brands, and save. Target, Instacart, Expedia, Macy's, Sephora, CVS, the list is long. Save online, in-store, and at over 22,000 restaurants. And when it's time to redeem those rewards, get your money exactly how you want it. Choose PayPal, check, Bilt points, or cash out with gift cards. Eligible American Express card members can choose to earn membership rewards points instead of cash back. Terms and conditions apply. So go ahead, take a trip, fill a cart, order dessert. Rakuten is a world of rewards. Join today for free. Go to Rakuten.com or get the Rakuten app. That's Rakuten.
Jessica has a theory that is so obvious. I was almost annoyed that I didn't think of it, but it's so accurate.
What is it?
And it has to do with telling secrets and keeping secrets.
Okay.
Ready for this?
Yep.
If you have a secret that you are going to... that you have to tell someone. You know how sometimes you get, usually they're personal secrets, but even if it's gossip about a third party and you just feel the need that you have to share it. So usually, unfortunately, sometimes it's usually like bad news or something like that, but you just feel better once you say it out loud to somebody who shouldn't know it, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always share that secret. If you want it to truly stay a secret, you always share that secret with someone who is married. So... the reason being, and this applies to women only. This is women talking amongst each other.
Okay.
The reason being is a married person or a person who's in a long-term relationship. So I'll use Melissa and Wendy for this example. Melissa's been with Katie Joe for how long?
Almost 4 years.
So I've got a secret, right? I got a secret that I think, you know, whatever. I got gossip. I tell Melissa, a woman has a compulsion to tell other people. It must happen. Women can't keep secrets. Not possible. If I tell Melissa,
a compulsion.
Right.
It's like getting hit on the knee by the doctor. It's just
right.
It's knee jerk reaction. It's a reflex.
It has to happen. Guys will turn and look at a girl's ass when she walks by. Women will have to talk about a secret. So if I tell Melissa, I know that it's going to go to Katie Joe, and then Melissa and Katie Joe talk about it, and it stops.
Well, wouldn't Katie Joe go to another friend, or would she keep it in the family?
She can talk about it with Melissa.
Mm-hmm. You're content to just tell one person.
Right. But if I told Wendy, Wendy is a single girl, doesn't have anybody, whatever, so then she tells another girlfriend who might not be with Wendy in 2 days when it comes up again, and that girlfriend might tell another one, and that's how it escapes. So if you have something private that you need to share, always share it with a married female.
That's a good theory.
Or a long-term relationship.
Female. Well, I'm wondering, let me ask a question. Now, let's say that with Jen and her boyfriend and then me and Katie Joe, like me and Katie Joe, two women.
Yep.
And so your theory is a woman has to tell something. So I tell Katie, and because we're in a relationship, when Katie wants to talk about it again, she can talk about it with me and we can continue that going on. Mm-hmm. So with Wendy, like you said, she tells a friend, that friend needs to tell somebody, she may not be with Wendy.
It's all over the city.
But with Jen being with a guy,
so
she says it to him, she's still content because she's told him.
Well,
sometimes because the response isn't good enough.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
Because guys don't really like get into the conversation, like if you tell them a nugget. Because this has happened recently. Mm-hmm. Told him a nugget. Oh, can you believe this? And this happened, this, and whatever. He's like, oh, yeah.
That's cool.
Okay.
It's just not engaging.
And then, like, you know, when we talk about it, whatever, it's like, okay, wow, whatever. And then I'm like, dang, I got to tell Elena.
So that's the second version.
Yes, exactly.
So then I got to her, and she's like, oh, my God, really? La, 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 la.
So then the modification.
It's like it wasn't enough.
The amendment to Jessica's law, then, is tell a couple lesbians.
Yes. There you go.
If you got secrets, tell the lesbians. That's right.
Good morning, Q100.
Yeah, that's funny.
Yeah, what's up? This is Mike.
What's going on, Mike?
Nothing. Just a quick comment about who you tell a secret to.
Okay.
You tell it to a guy that you do not know.
A guy you don't know?
A guy you don't know. First of all, he doesn't care. Second of all, he's not going to know who you know, and so he's not going to go and tell it to anyone else. So if you're at a bar or you're just walking down the street and you're just like, oh my gosh, I got to tell this somebody. You look for the bummest looking dude, big raggedy beard, whatever, or a lot of piercings because they're not very social anyway. And that's
Okay.
Well, see, I don't think it's the same. I don't think it's the same analogy because I don't think guys have the same urge to reveal a secret. Like if I'm told by somebody that this is just between you and me, man, not even your wife, nothing, done, dead, into the vault, never anybody.
I just yesterday just had somebody send me a text message and ask me if I heard a rumor about her and. That people were gossiping and blah, blah, blah. And I had no idea what she was talking about until she told me. And I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that, but it didn't process as, like, scandalous. What's scandalous and gossipy to girls is not scandalous and gossipy to guys. So it was about a relationship or something. And I was like, oh, yeah, I heard that, but I just figured you're dating the dude, so cool. Like, yeah, that was the end of it.
Kind of going back with what Jen said about how guys don't give the correct feedback. Maybe we should say straight guys because I think, why do you think salons do so well?
Yeah.
Hairdressers.
That's right.
Straight women and gay boy hairdressers. The reason they make so much money and have strong clientele is because they're the people that we tell.
But they're not real good at keeping secrets also. Like I've had my hair cut by people in the salon that start giving up secrets about their clients left and right.
But you don't know those clients. So most
but
of the time,
I don't know their clients.
It's like telling a stranger.
Which means that I would never tell a secret. And I don't know why that profession, for whatever reason, is the place where you decide to like do therapy. Like, what is
you're
holding
a pair of scissors?
For a while. Yeah.
It's like going to a therapist. You're going there on a regular schedule for an hour. You got nothing to do.
And you're looking in the mirror.
And you're sitting there talking.
All you can do is self reflect.
Q100. The number one summer.
Here, Bird Show.